Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to a very untidy office on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. We are brought to you as usual, longevityplaybook.com. Go there and sign up for the free newsletter that helps you live younger, longer, and get prepared for the Great Age Reboot. And of course, LifesFirstNaturals.com. Go there for the double-blind randomized controlled trials to see why Truebiotics and bovine colostrum are both part of my daily regimen. Hopefully, they're yours as well. Today, we have a wonderful guest, as is usual, but this guest is the antithesis of what I believe in. Not that I don't believe in being tidy, and the book is Tidy Up Your Life. It's a beautifully written book, but is something I don't do very well. If you look in my office, it is a mess. Am I overloaded? Yes. How do I deal with it? I put everything in a box after I'm through with that subject, and I have these tons of little cardboard boxes all over my office that Tyler gets to see a little bit of. Tyler Moore is the author and creator of the Instagram sensation Tidy Dad. He's the author of Tidy Up Your Life, Rethinking How to Organize, Declutter, and Make Space for What Matters Most. So, Tyler, I had a co-author who you'll know the name of if you don't already, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who we would write a book every year. And because we would go through 20 or 30 editions of every copy in order to make them humorous and fun, when I was through with the research material on it, I would just pack it into another box. I learned that from earlier work. And the reason I'm giving you this challenge is how do I tidy? But I learned that from an earlier work when one of my professors in medical school, UCSF, was sued by a publisher for plagiarizing himself. So what I decided to do was to keep everything, every edition of every book in hard copy, because I usually work in hard copy rather than just on the internet. Now I work a lot more on in the cloud. But in that era, for until probably 2014 or 15, I always worked on hard copies. So I have, as you can see, I have a small arsenal. I was an institute chairman and had 2,600 square foot of space for my office and another storeroom of 1,200 square feet. So no problem. Now, when I retired as institute chairman, I'm now in about 900 square foot office. So I have a storage area at home with 40 suitcases. So they're wheeled and I can move them any place. But they're full of books and reference materials from those 5 academic books, 200 publications, and now 24 lay books. And as you can see behind me, how do I deal with things? I just put them in a box and label the box and hope we can find it someday.
Well, I was going to say that the labels are at least a good start. Because I think a lot of people, they have like the extra rooms in their home or they have the closets and they just throw everything in. But it does seem like you have some sort of system that I do think that if someone were to ask you where something is, you would at least know where to initially start.
I'm going to tell you a funny story, okay, about that, that shows exactly that. The labels are on all 6 or 8 sides of a box, if you will, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, all 6 sides of the box. But when my son, who was in eighth grade, was working on a project on, or seventh grade on, Tom Sawyer, I can't remember which, I came up with my eighth grade thesis on it, which I had gotten an A on. And I said, wait till I find it. I went right down to the box, found that, and brought it up. So I've been doing this a long time, but it does mean you have to have a pretty big storage area. So you can't do it in 750 square feet, which is the lead story in this book of Tidy Up Your Life, how Tidy Dad started when somehow you talked your wife into living in a 750-foot apartment and then transferring bedrooms with your, at that time, one child, second on the way.
Yeah, I feel like every good story always starts with a mess. Like, you've got to start with sort of that moment of implosion, which that was, it was born from a good idea. And sometimes we have the best of intentions. And I was like, we're in this small apartment. We've got to make it work for our growing family. We've upsized the number of people living here. We didn't necessarily want to upsize the square footage. So it was like, what do we do? And so my ingenious thought was, let's just swap bedrooms with the girls. I was also 2 days into mental health leave. I had taken leave from my job as a school administrator. So I wasn't thinking super clearly, but sometimes those like physical projects can help you cathartically work through other messes that you experience. So she was like, let's not do this today. And I thought, okay, I just waited for her to leave the apartment. And then I thought, if I can just show her how great this is going to be, then she's going to be completely amazed, because sometimes seeing is believing. But I imploded the space.
And she came home and it was a true mess.
It was a complete mess, because in order to move the furniture by myself, I had to unload all the furniture. And then I was so worried about scratching our floors in our apartment that I had to try to lift and shimmy all of the furniture and get beach towels underneath it in order to be able to drag it from one room to the next. And that just does not work. But like I mentioned, sometimes it's when that mental clutter and physical clutter go hand in hand. And for a time, the systems that we had set up worked until they didn't, which was the introduction of our small children, our young children, into our space.
So what is the, how do I tidy up my life? In other words, I'm getting overrun with these boxes. And even if we have a, they're just two of us, my wife and I, since our kids are grown and out of the house. And occasionally we have guests and we have a guest house. But every part of our 4,800 square foot house and 1,400 square foot guest house in our main area is now overrun with boxes. And that's how I handle it. Do I just start throwing them out? How do I manage this?
Yeah. So I feel like one big question that you have to ask yourself is this question of like, what really is just enough? Like when you think about your artifacts, when you think about the books, when you think about the collection of materials, you as a medical professional, like you work with sort of these established criteria. You work with these systems of procedures and steps. And for each of us, we have to individually sort of think about what is that criteria in terms of what we're choosing to keep versus what we're choosing to move out. Because you can't keep everything. And I would imagine that if you started by thinking about what are those things that are really of value or importance to me? What are those materials that I want to hold on to? And if you can establish that criteria of what you want to keep, that can then help you make decisions around what you're ready to like move out. And even when I had to do this, even with, you know, writing the book, it was funny because you mentioned that you had all of the materials that you had kept. And my editor was like, you never just delete whole sections. You always scoop that section. You like move it into another document for another day. So while the book is like 250 pages, I have 1,000 pages that sort of left on the table and more, which is sort of like natural. But I had to establish what was that definition of just enough for me. And the counter to that is, is something getting in the way? Am I limiting myself in some way? You mentioned like having the guest house, wanting to have friends over, probably to come and stay, wanting your children to come back. And if they're like, there is no place for me to go because dad's boxes, although he did help me with that Huckleberry Finn project years ago.
No, he refused any help. I brought up this beautiful book and this gorgeous stuff. And he said, Dad, I'm not touching that.
But that definition of what is just enough can be really powerful. And then the decluttering steps, it is that idea of which would be somewhat tricky with your boxes. You would not unload all of them at one time, but it is this idea of how do you clear the box? Like you're going to have to sort of like empty that box, sort stuff into categories and see what do I then want to keep? What do I want to move out before you make this larger plan of like, what do you do? Because I think with, you know, something when you're talking about your books, your materials, all of this work from your career, like this is an object. These are items that are deeply sentimental.
No. They have no sentiment. It is just I worry about plagiarism and being sued. But it's what I decided this last year when I moved from 2,600 square feet and 1,200 square feet of storage into 800 square feet. I threw out everything more than 35 years old in a book. I kept all the data for the original articles.
Yeah.
But all the books and all the material for the books that were more than 20 years old. So,
well, see, there you establish that criteria. So you're on your way towards sort of step, because at some point, like you cannot keep everything. There has to be some sort of process that you use in order to edit items. And I talked to lots of people who they're gifted all of these things. They inherit things when their family members pass away. And they're like, what in the world am I supposed to do with all of this stuff? And there's this sentiment of if everything is treated as important, then is actually anything important? Not everything is of equal weight or value.
The book we're working on now with a lawyer is called You, the Owner's Manual of Solutions to Problems Seniors Often Face. And so we have cartoons in our book to keep it fun. And one of my favorite cartoons in this book is one of my son coming over with me in a walker for the future. Obviously, I'm not in a walker now. And looking in the garage and saying to him, someday, son, this will all be yours. And it's all those boxes.
It's true. And it is this fear. I mean, my mom, she was faced with moving her aging parents out of their home. And my grandma said to her, by the way, you can't let your father know that we're doing this. She was like, but I need you to help us declutter. I need you to help us secure the assisted living facility. Plus, we need to sell the house out from underneath him. But again, whatever you do, don't let your dad know. Like that is a huge burden that people face. And it's one of those overwhelming sort of projects that I do feel like this idea of tidying can at least give you an entry point, you know, sort of a way to help.
So the basic message of tidying is find out what matters to you and get rid of what doesn't matter to you.
I think you have to ruthlessly edit in order to make space for those, for whatever it is that you want to sort of like flourish or grow. And like, I've used this, we're in 750 square feet. And so right now we have toys galore, but it's because I have three young children and play is so incredibly important to me. If I just wanted them to be stuck on an iPad all day, then I wouldn't need the Barbies and the blocks and the Legos. That as frustrated as it feels sometimes when I can't walk through the playroom because they're literal walking tornadoes sometimes, I know that what is deeply rooted right now is that imagination and creativity. It's just like if you love skiing, then you need to make space for your skis. If you're an avid cook, then you don't want your kitchen cluttered with all of this stuff that's getting in the way of you actually being able to put together and serve that meal. The definition is so different for each of us of what is just enough and what matters.
So let me go. You've got three daughters now and you're still in the 750 square foot?
We are.
Did you move into the living room and give them the two bedrooms? What's happened to the space?
I'm about to. No, I mean, my wife and I still share the smallest bedroom. We have the girls now. They're stacked triple high in a triple bunk all in the same room. We have one extra bone.
You have a sled?
We
we have a sled in our, my son. I helped him get his bedroom for his daughter. And since she wanted to have kids over, there's a sled in the small bedroom, you know, on a bunk bed.
Yeah, but you know, it's all our girls have known. We go to the suburbs. We also have a cottage in Pennsylvania where we spend time in the summer. And all three girls are still in the same bedroom there, you know, even though we have a spare bedroom there, which feels very luxurious for grandparents or friends coming to stay. But it's really all that they have known. And I feel like when we talk to them about, we want to make space in our lives for adventure. We want to spend time traveling. You know, I'm a teacher by day and I walk all three girls with me to school. They're at the same school where I attend and it's five blocks from our apartment. That right now, the benefits that we get from living in this small space outweigh some of the inherent issues that can come up with living in a small space and sharing one tiny bathroom. You know, logistically, it gets kind of interesting sometimes, but we've like navigated the issues.
This is a very interesting book. It is Tidy Up Your Life, Rethinking How to Organize, Declutter, and Make Space for What Matters Most. And it is really making a priority in your life of what does matter and deciding on that and getting rid, or I guess boxing and moving out of your house.
Just in your case, have those really specific labels. I think that's going to be your saving grace at this point, but it is a system.
Now, let me ask you another question. You've written at least two books for the lay audience, I think. Is that right?
This is the first one.
This is the first one. Tidy Up Your Life, creator of the Instagram sensation Tidy Dad. So we've got to make sure people know that. But now, are you going to keep extra copies of this book in your home?
I know. We've had to work on that definition that, yes, there will be extra copies. I also have my own sort of like writer's notebook that like it is here. Obviously, you can see it, not listeners, but I have my beautiful, this is, I always joke that this is going to be put in the Smithsonian next to Dorothy's ruby red slippers. That, you know, I do use some of those old school strategies, but as you know, with your books, they become gifts forevermore. That it's like birthdays, holidays. It's a good reminder for the grandparents who like to ship boxes of stuff to my house for my children all the time. That like, I did write the book, Tidy Up Your Life. I did put them in it. Everyone is treated very favorably in this first book, but in the second book, it could be the real behind-the-scenes story of my mother who loves gift-giving and ships us stuff all the time.
What do you do with it if you don't want, if it's not a priority to keep?
You know, we are the gatekeepers. We get to choose what stays and what goes. And we have tried our best to explain to everyone that it is a one-in, one-out rule. So if something comes in, like we do have to make space for it because my sister lives in a 4,000 square foot house. That house wasn't large enough for her. So she discovered 1,700 square feet of attic space. So she decided to build herself her own wing of her house with her own bedroom and bathroom and kitchenette. So when she wants to escape her children, she can go off to her retreat space. I cannot do that. So I have to be very clear with everyone.
So as life gets complex, meaning you start to get more mail, and some of it is financial data from, for example, the book, you've got to store that, and it won't fit in 750 square feet or even in a box in 750. Do you try and eliminate something, or do you get an extra space to store it?
So our goal is to eliminate, because as seasons of life change, as you know, we have had to think about, even if you're talking about with mail, it's like, what are our files that are digitized? What do we have sort of our system, which is like emergency stock of papers, but also our file system? That paper is something that always seems to be coming in. So we do try to set up those systems. But yeah, things have had to go.
So this is such a good book. I'm going to give it to my wife and hope that she doesn't do it to me.
She might. I mean, my closet is only 14 inches wide. I don't know how big your closet is, but mine's tiny. And she may want you to narrow and develop that capsule wardrobe. I have four colors that I wear. That's all that I allow myself. And my students at school, they're like, can you please wear a different color? And I'm like, no, I don't have room for it.
Tyler Moore, M-O-O-R-E. The book is Tidy Up Your Life, Rethinking How to Organize, Declutter, and Make Space for What Matters Most. Tidy Up Your Life. We're brought to you, as usual, on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is 1229B. The Bees are always wonderful guests, fun guests like Tyler Moore. The A's are always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. We're brought to you, as usual, by LongevityPlaybook.com. Go there and sign up for the free newsletter. Soon, we'll be referring you to another website which has coaching on it through an AI system as well. And also, our other sponsor, LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum. Get that 4,000 milligrams of Bovine Colostrum if you're big, 2,000 if you're tiny and tidied up your room, and you'll feel better, especially if you take non-steroidals or want to prevent a upper respiratory infection. Go there, LifesFirstNaturals.com, to look at their randomized control data on how you can do better. Thank you, our listeners. 50,000 of you a week can't be wrong. Tidy up your life, but don't ask me to do so just yet. Thanks again. I will be giving this to my wife. She will not be coming on this show to tell you what she's thrown out of mine, because she'll probably keep it a secret, and I won't even miss it for many years. Thanks again.